Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. In December 2020, Congress passed the No Surprises Act, announcing a bipartisan agreement on legislation to protect patients from surprise medical bills and establish a fair framework to resolve payment disputes between healthcare providers and health insurance companies. Today, you'll hear Chrissy Hudson, the product line developer at Availity, discuss some of the ways in which she has been seeing providers help their patients avoid surprise billing scenarios. First, let's take a look at what surprise billing is and what it looks like in independent practices.
It's a situation that would occur when a patient receives notification for a bill that they weren't expecting as part of a course of treatment. There are several different avenues at which a surprise bill could come. It could be everything from a provider that maybe they weren't aware that they were going to be seeing treatment with, to a change in the actual procedures that were required while the patient was receiving that treatment. Surprise billing is really, there was never an attempt to inform, or it's something, it's really addressed in the Consolidated Appropriation Act that came in place late in 21, you know, hundreds of pages of legislation that people are still pouring through. And it has to do with making sure that you really are not taking any steps towards a patient's treatment or care, or engaging them with a provider you're not informing them of. Now, balance billing and price transparency is very tangential to it. It's very close to it, but they're a little bit separate. If we take a trip kind of down that lane a little bit, what that is making sure that you're informing and you're creating estimates as soon as possible up front for those patients. And there is both federal as well as state legislature that is going into place where you need to make sure, and it's calling out, you know, how early you have to inform a patient, how much time you have to send that balance bill once it has been adjudicated through their insurance. And there is also a number of tools in the industry that can help you create that estimate. One thing I do like to point out, though, is it's called an estimate for a reason, right? So it's not a bill. And making sure that you have a good talk track with your patients, explaining that this is the best case scenario. This is what we understand right now as to be what it will be when your bill processes through that insurance. But making sure they know that there's all kinds of factors that go into place. If you're part of healthcare, you understand how claims adjudication works, and that your accumulators can change if a doctor's bill processed through tomorrow, but it wasn't there today. You may think you owe $250 on a bill, but all of a sudden it becomes $85, and maybe you feel like they've overcollected. It's not really that they've overcollected; it's that there's a little bit of there's a science behind it, right? And it's hard to understand some of that science if you're not part of the industry. So making sure your front-end staff has a good talk track when they're explaining that to the patients. Mm-hmm. Because where this can become very impactful to those shared patient populations is if there's not shared contract or network status. So what I mean by that, right, is if those providers are not choosing, that are independent from the health systems in their region, maybe mm-hmm. they're offering services there, maybe they do ancillary care within those health systems. But if they're not part of the networks that those providers that are in the system choose to be a member of, it can result in a surprise bill of sorts for the patients, because they will often vet the primary provider, not necessarily a primary care provider, right? But mm-hmm. think I'm going to the hospital for this particular type of service. I'm going to look the hospital up with my insurance company and make sure that they're in network. And unfortunately, that's about where most of the general population's understanding of their insurance and their coverage and benefits really stops. Mm-hmm. They don't think about all those extra services that may be there. So maybe you're a pathology provider in a local area, but you process specimens, or you process additional tests that are done as part of a surgical procedure. You've yeah. never seen that patient. They didn't get a chance to vet you mm-hmm. of sorts, right? And you could be a surprise bill to them, and one that was higher than they were expecting if they had a chance to choose a network provider.
Reducing surprise billing situations requires clear communication. Chrissy says that there are tools available to help clarify expected costs to patients up front and as treatment procedures progress throughout a patient's healthcare journey.
When you're screening your patient population, and a lot of the onus will fall on the large health systems or the systems that are actually providing the care, in my opinion, they need to become very aware, very informed, very in tuned with what not only the eligibility, but also the benefits are and the network status of those patients that they're treating. So it goes beyond just saying, yeah, I'm going to see Drew for a shoulder surgery tomorrow. And he has this particular plan, right? He has grandpa's insurance. You really got to understand what are the benefits that Drew has? What plan is he associated? Are all the providers that he's going to seek care with in network? And if not, we need to make sure we inform Drew up front, especially in those non-emergent circumstances. And that information requires communication and really partnerships between those ancillary providers and the actual facility providers. So I'd like to kind of set aside emergency for just a second, because there are ways that surprise billing addresses emergency services, and we all have to, always have to make sure patient care is first, right? But in those elective procedures, you need to become very comfortable with having those financial conversations with your patients, because they're as important to their care as the actual clinical care. Because one of the things, if you look at patient surveys and you do some of these patient engagement platforms, and you really try to figure out why are the patients either happy or dissatisfied with their providers, a lot of times it's not around the care, it's around the financial obligation for that care, and simply informing your patient and being sure that you have the right tools to help them understand what an estimate is, what their services are, and why they're going to be receiving that bill can go a long way, rather than just that statement showing up in the mail, you know, 2-3 months after the service. Absolutely. So I would say as soon as you're aware, care is required.
Absolutely. How might the practice's overall revenue cycle also play into the concepts of surprise billing and discussing financial obligations with patients?
Yeah, another great question. Depending on how much you handle in-house versus if you're decentralized, maybe you work with third-party companies, or you're having others that are actually managing your credentialing, your network status, perhaps you are part of a larger system, but you operate a little bit more independently. You need to make sure that your front-end staff, your registrars, your schedulers, even in the smaller spaces, sometimes your clinicians are aware of what your network status is, and then how to understand what a patient's particular benefits are for those courses of treatment. So being sure that even if maybe you're sending your billing out and those scheduling or those charges are going to happen offsite or decoupled from treatment, that you at least have a visualization into what those services are and understand how those financial ramifications are. Because your patient's contract is really with you, right? Your patient is, they create this almost emotional contract with their providers that they need to understand when they're coming into the office that that person can help advocate for them. Because it's a very complex world. I'm sure, you know, being associated with healthcare, you get those calls from your cousin, your aunt, your brother, that they're like, I got this EOB in the mail and I have no idea what it means, right? So whenever you're at all associated with that, you need to make sure that just like they're looking for help, the provider's office needs to be somewhere they can look for that help.
You might even consider evaluating your revenue cycle practices to help reduce or eliminate instances of surprise billing. Up next, Chrissy discusses the tools available to physicians that might help reduce instances of surprise billing.
Eligibility is something that's near and dear to my heart. It's the product, one of the product lines I focus on as part of Availity. And I like to say check early and check often, right? So it's be sure that you truly understand not only just the eligibility, but the full scope of the benefits, the full scope of their network status, what their actual accumulators are, what the patient could be responsible for each type of care, and not just those general healthcare services that are, I want to say that's the easy stuff, right? That's the cream on the top that's been in the industry for a long time. But now you have to become more of an advocate on behalf of your patient to say, if I'm having an MRI, what are my services specifically for that? And while that's something that's becoming a little bit more second nature for the larger systems, those smaller health providers, probably a lot of your audience, you know, it becomes the need to make sure you're procuring the right tools, that you're really educating your staff, because a lot of it's tribal knowledge. If you don't have a good set of tools, it's all those sticky notes around the computer, right? It's understanding that, you know, oh, this person works for this local factory in town. I know when they are going to have an MRI, I need to be aware of this so that they don't get a copy of a bill from a radiologist who's not in network. It's making sure you have the right tools that take away the need for some of those sticky notes.
Thanks again for taking the time to talk with me, Chrissy. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter.